But the beast is not the ten horn kingdom, and the beast is not the seven head kingdom. But one of the heads, as it were, was wounded to death, slain to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast?" No one ever on the stage of history matched this one. "Who is able to make war with him?" There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's half of the last week. That's 3.5 years. He will come in riding on a white horse. He will receive his power given to him. The ten kingdoms will be there first. He'll be a part of them. The little horn coming up, uprooting three others. They'll give to him the power. He'll make his peace, a covenant with the Jews. They will believe Messiah's finally come, and they can worship their way. In the middle of the week, he'll break the covenant, and absolute power will be given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That includes today. And I beheld, and here I come to the subject of today, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. Counterfeit again. Here's the false church. Going to have two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. He gets his message from Satan. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders. Notice again, they emphasize that the beast of Revelation 13 is the one whose deadly wound, the slain to death head, is healed and alive again. This second beast doeth great wonders. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do. He had power that caused even the saints to follow after him. He could fill the Los Angeles Coliseum any day with his miracles. And he, not the first beast, the second beast, the false church, that causes people to worship the image of the beast, verse 15, now 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Six is the number of a man, says it right here. Three is the number of manifestation. 666 lined up. Humanism manifested to the maximum. Now, I've been saying for weeks, you want to know how to discern? You want to know how to discern the false religion? You want to know how to discern the spirit and voice of the dragon when he speaks disguised behind the image of a lamb? You want to know how to recognize the voice of a false prophet? Humanism is his focus. Make all that God is and has available for man now. Put man and his needs front and center, and offer an allegiance, alliance, a union, a worship. What's the word worship mean? Worth-ship. It becomes the voice of the worth-ship of earthly government. The favorite text will be Romans 13 out of text. Context means with text. Romans 13 out of text. Submit to those that have rule over you at any cost. Satan has always been the caricature. He will come to power, not with a heavy boot. We just saw it in California. I'm going to say thanks to this voice, as well as other voices. But more thanks to this voice and those associated with this voice, this free voice here on television, the prince of evil that has rulership over California got set back. This past week, I hear various counts, 50 to 14, 51 to 11, 52 to 12. Either way you add it up, it's a majority and a big one. The Petras bill passed. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll let the Attorney General hear you clap. Even now, Paul said, that mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that restraineth will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then and only then can that man of sin be revealed. I said last Sunday, I repeat it, Duke Majan's not the Antichrist. He hasn't got the stuffings. But he is under that spirit of Antichrist. But the church, and the church alone, joined with Antichrist, can bring him to power. He will never come to power until an established church is won over to a marriage with government. I also read in the Times, I have a knack of making myself out in left field, enemy of everybody. Not quite. Most everybody. Because most everybody's wrong. Which camp you in? There was a little bit of trepidation in that applause. That's solid Bible. The majority is always wrong. The Times today also records that great union of evangelicals in Dallas. Were there spokesmen opening it, waving a Bible, saying, God and the government must come together? I'm sure that spokesman is sincere, but deluded. and failing to recognize there has only been, until the United States of America, two kinds of relationship between church and government. Either the church is a creature of government and used by government to affect government's will, or the government is a creature of the church and used as power to coerce the particular church that's in charge as will. Never has there been an exception. Either it's a state controlling the church or a church controlling the state, until the United States of America and a balance of power and a truce and a separation occurred that enabled the gospel to reach the world. I know I get criticized because I'll associate with the cults. I feel safer with them than the established church, because the government likes the established church too much for my comfort. I do not want the government's goodwill, because they're ruled by a prince of evil, spawned in hell, and there's no way their goodwill is a compliment. I do not want their goodwill. I want them out of the church and leaving me alone. Once for all. I don't want the government bowing down to me as a church. My power begins and ends in the voting booth as a citizen, period. Just leave me alone. Stay in their camp, I'll stay in mine. Period. That's what's made this country great. If Duke Majan can crucify Morning Land, he can crucify Faith Center. The only difference, we got a bigger voice. God didn't win this battle. Gutsy Christians with God's help won it. Gutsy Christians didn't win it alone. Gutsy Christians with God's help won it. Involve people with a few Philistines like Ittai, with the intelligence and love of the Constitution. But the government was thrown back. The church, in 1977, a conference of attorneys general met in San Diego. The chief speaker was the Attorney General of Ohio. His prime target was Brother Al. Well, I took Brother Al's programs off of this network when I came here. I'm not a crusader for Brother Al. But he is nothing as a danger to this land like Duke Majan and that Attorney General for Ohio, as those attorney generals in San Diego dedicated themselves in 1977, and I've just seen the documents, to gain control over churches and stop the procedure that continued to exempt churches from the Uniform Charitable Trust Supervision Act. Demon forces seeking to control the church. The heart of the speech of the Attorney General of Ohio was the argument, the right of the Attorney General to inspect the churches has been accepted by the established churches and religions of Ohio. That's where it began. There is no way that government, Antichrist, will take over without the help of a church. There is no way the Shah of Iran would have been overthrown by any power that did not have sitting alongside it the demoniac voice of a religious force that gave him the power. Why do you think I fight the government like I do and fight with equal vigor? The church trying to take over the government. Keep them apart. Keep this truce. Keep this separation. Jefferson wasn't the God-fearing man, as we define that word, that most people think he was. He was an intelligent man who conceived from a perspective of history the separation concept. The point, already obvious, the Attorney General of California, the Antichrist in functional direction of California, the one who more than anyone else has become the voice of a beast out of the abyss, seeking to establish an earthly government, who courted the established church and was able in the early days, until this voice and some others turned the tide, to get the earliest voice of the established church to say, oh, we have nothing to hide. We invite the Attorney General in. We want him to protect us. When the church realized that it was a beast out of the pit being taken to their breast, and that once in, takeover was imminent, because it's not God's time quite yet. Believe me, it was not pure love of the Constitution that got the vote in the House. How many know that? It was fear of the church people voting them out. That's it in a nutshell. There is no way Antichrist can come to power without a church. The Bible told that. He'll come in meek as a lamb, riding on a white horse with an arrow. No arrow in it. He won't say, bow down to me. He won't force an expression of recognizing his worship. Another beast has got to rise, a false prophet, who will use religious power to make the world bow down to the first beast. That's the false church. Revelation 17. There came one of the seven angels, now with the seven vials, we're getting toward the end, talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee. Now the false church is going to get it. The false prophet is there to the end. The one who came speaking, working miracles, making people bow down to the beast. Read that in Revelation 19. Now the 17th chapter describes this false church. Come hither. I want to show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now we got the same beast again. The woman was arrayed, but this time the woman, the false church, is riding upon the strength of the beast. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, How come you're marveling? Wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and the mystery of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was. That's one of the seven heads. The beast that thou sawest was a kingdom. It is not a kingdom now. You want me to fill in what is really meant here? He was and is not now, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not, because John is living under the Roman Empire. So the beast that was before the Roman Empire is not at that time, and yet is in this prophecy. Now here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Those are not the seven hills of Rome. There are seven kings, the next verse says. Five are fallen. The subject represents the kingdoms, the ones including all the imagery of Daniel, but going back behind it, clear to the prophecies given in that night when a deep sleep was put on Abram. The kingdoms that oppress Israel. Five are fallen. The first one, Egypt. The second one, Assyria. The third one, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire. The fourth one, the Medo-Persian. The fifth one, the Grecian Empire. So the heads that are wounded is one of those five that are fallen. One is the sixth one. That's the Roman Empire that was ruling while John sat there. The other is not yet come. That's the seventh. And when he cometh, he must continue a very short space. It won't last very long, that seventh kingdom. Now, the seventh kingdom, you can take Egypt, that's the first one. Assyria, that's the second one. The third one, Babylon. That's where the head of Nebuchadnezzar's image picks up. That's where the lion of the beasts of Daniel pick up. The fourth one, Medo-Persian. That's where the silver of the chest and arms of Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's image takes up. That's where the bear, the Medo-Persian Empire of Daniel's beast takes up. The fifth one, that's the Grecian, the leopard, the brass of Nebuchadnezzar's empire, the leopard of Daniel's image. The sixth one now is, that's the Roman Empire, the legs of iron, the nondescript beast of Daniel. It now is John's day. The seventh is yet to come, the ten toes of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. The horns and the little horns growing out of the beasts of the Grecian Empire to be reconstituted. They'll just exist for a short time. The ten horns, the seventh kingdom, which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. They hadn't yet come to power in John's day, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast, a very short time. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. There's your eighth kingdom. The ten kingdoms suddenly move into an eighth kingdom, where they're no longer ten kingdoms, ten toes and clay. They suddenly become Antichrist kingdom, the last one, the eighth one. These shall make war with the Lamb. The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore. She comes in riding on that beast. The ten kings will hate her. Her power is not an earthly power ruling kingdoms. Her power is her religious power over kings and the people that they make follow those kings. But they'll hate her, make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Thank God the real church is going to go, and the false church is going to get this kind of treatment. Their day's coming. When God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth with religious power. There is coming a marriage between church and state. The last bulwark of freedom where power of the church can hold back Antichrist is this United States. That's why, thank God, the fable of Ed Masry is getting around. Gene Scott carries the Bible in one hand, the Constitution in the other one. That's where the church in this land has to stand. As the door of grace is kept open. But there's coming a false church. He will make people bow down. Let me go back to the 13th chapter. He will deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them, the 14th verse of the 13th chapter, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound with the sword, was slain, and now does live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, a number, a sign of ownership, a sign of right to rule. It's a false church that'll do that. You say, how in the world can an intelligent 20th century or whatever century this occurs, people be duped into worshiping what clearly is contrary to God, what clearly is spawned by Satan, what clearly is the dragon speaking, what clearly is a false prophet voice, what clearly is a diversion of God's purposes? How can a church be duped? Let me add one more sentence. When Jesus comes to fight that battle of Armageddon in the 19th chapter, the 20th verse, 19th verse says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him, right to the end, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which, if you are a gullible follower of miracles, listen close, that wrought miracles before him, with which is to say, with those self-same miracles, he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, become the first inhabitants, being cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now let me talk about this church. And thank God I'm going to finish today sooner than I have been. This woman in Revelation 17, notice it's a woman, not for the reason that most of you Scott watchers laughed about.